Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series, where we explore the vast and mysterious world of spirituality. Whether you're seeking guidance on your spiritual journey, interested in learning more about different spiritual practices and beliefs, or simply looking for inspiration to deepen your connection with the divine, then this is a show just for you. Join us as we delve into topics such as mindfulness, meditation, manifestation, energy healing, and much more. Our aim is to provide a safe and inclusive space for all listeners to explore their spirituality and connect with like-minded individuals. So grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and let's journey together on the path of spiritual awakening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Spiritual Spotlight series. I am joined today by psychic medium and ghost rescuer, Michelle Lyons-Polito. Thank you so much for being here tonight with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We've been trying to get together for a while. And
I know. We've heard of the Michelle Lyons. It's like her name is like among the popular, the ones you got to get into.
And you're so sweet.
I'm serious. It's like, oh, you got to get a reading from her. You got to go see her. Oh, and I can't wait to actually schedule a reading with you, to be quite honest.
Oh, well, thank you.
I kind of would like to start with kind of like, when did you, so psychic medium, and for you being a psychic medium, when did you kind of, I guess, within yourself, no, I have this gift. How did it come about for you?
Well, quite honestly, it is my earliest memory, which is the coolest thing when I think back. Well, I felt weird, first of all, for most of my childhood into young adulthood. But my first memory is of being in my crib. So I'm probably about two, maybe three. I think I went into a, you know, a big girl bed at like three and a half or so. But I remember laying in child's pose. And there were two women standing next to my crib looking down at me. And I remember feeling a lot of love. And I recognized them. So I remember feeling comfortable. And then my mother and my aunt came in, opened the door, and they walked through those women and stood. And it was my mother's mother.
Wow.
And it was my and her mother. So my grandmother and my great-grandmother, neither of whom I ever met in person. So and I remember at that young age thinking, why are some people see, you know, why can you walk through some people? Mm-hmm. And so from there on out, it was, you know, it was a difficult childhood because I remember I very often would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and there'd be a see-through person at the foot of my bed, just standing there. And they were ghosts because they were wearing their death. And they very often present as they looked when they died because they're trying to convey what happened to them. And so I would climb in bed with my sister or if my father was working nights, I'd crawl in bed with my mom and it was just really scary.
Yeah.
And I always had to sleep with like white noise on because if not, the talking would keep me up.
Oh my goodness.
But even to this day, I sleep, you know, 365 days out of the year with an air conditioner on in my window.
So the noise and it masks all of the activity.
But sometimes I do get voices through the air conditioner. If they're very persistent, it's kind of like when you talk into a fan.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it, I'll get up. Because I, as you know, I think you see me, I douse. I use a pendulum. And I douse to do my clearing work. And I cannot clear from my bedroom because I try to keep my bedroom as my sanctuary.
Gotcha.
And, you know, my people in spirit always have override, spirit guides, guardian angels, loved ones. They can always come and visit in my bedroom. But if I get, you know, an uninvited visitor in there, I've got to get up and go downstairs to my workstation and then I can douse. So.
Wow. And then like, so as you were, so you've always had this gift since you were born pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you know what it was as you were going up or was it something that was within your family? Do you have other psychic mediums within your family?
Yes. I mean, my parents were very supportive. My mother still is very supportive. They didn't know quite what to do with me. I was raised Catholic. So, and I just say, you know, a lot of people had bad experiences with the Catholic Church. It was pretty supportive. I mean, I never really talked about, I see dead people, but we had some younger, more enthusiastic priests and nuns, and they were very, pretty supportive. But my great, great aunt Kitty, she told fortunes. That's what they called
it then. I love that.
And she held me on the day of my christening. And she used to live down on Western Avenue in Albany, across from WT's, the Washington Tavern. Mm-hmm. You know, Albanians know that one. And, you know, very often we'd go on a Sunday, you know, go to church, visit like the older folks. Well, she held me on the day of my christening, and I have a picture of it. And she told my parents, this child will be able to see with the future. She was born with a veil.
Wow.
So I have her fortune telling cards.
Do you really? Oh, yeah. I love that.
And I still tend her grave. She's buried in my favorite cemetery, Albany Rural Cemetery. So
Oh my goodness. Does she come and visit you?
She does. She does. It's almost like she's one of my guides. Because mm-hmm. like I've got family members, like my grandmother, a lot of the people that, well, she's one of the people that I knew, but when she passed, she became a guide.
Yeah.
But like my father, he's with me, but I see him in front of me. My Aunt Kitty, almost like integrated, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Now, how do you distinguish between, like you said, a spirit guide, a loved one, someone you don't want to deal with, or like you clear them, which we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, if it's a loved one, well, a spirit guide, I get a perspective where they're looking in the same direction as me.
Okay.
Like my spirit guides are behind me or maybe sharing my space, mm-hmm. so to speak. Excuse me. And that's how I know they're spirit guides. And I feel like it's almost like you're at a dance recital. Okay. And you've got your partners or your, you know, your gang up there dancing. That's what it feels like. If it is a person in spirit who's visiting me, they're directly in front of me at heart level. Their heart is at my heart. And granted, they're spirit, but mm-hmm. it's the essence of their heart chakra.
Yeah.
I'm face to face with them. And there's a recognition. Most of my loved ones in spirit who visit, they have their signature scent. My father is the smell of like freshly sawed wood in the workshop.
Yeah, I love that.
My Aunt Ruth is stale beer and cigarettes.
You're like, hey girl, hey.
My Uncle George, I smell this wax. He used to tie flies for fly fishing, and the thread he used had a certain waxy smell.
Right,
I smell that. You know, it's funny. My father-in-law is Polo Cologne. And my mother-in-law
has such a distinct smell. Wow.
He wore that in life. And it's confusing though, because my son has started to wear it. I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? And my mother-in-law's donuts. She's a glazed donuts, which always makes me hungry. It's like, can you pick a different scent? Yeah.
Brought up, you have quite a few supercharged psychic senses. Clairvoyant, clairaudient, I mean, you basically have them all.
My name should have been Claire. No,
what's up, Claire? I mean, sometimes is that overwhelming for you? And how do you deal with that?
Well, it really was. When I was a kid, I just felt so weird. I just, you know, was very sensitive. And mm-hmm. I think the most difficult thing is being an empath, being empathetic.
Right.
I could feel what other people were feeling. So as a kid, a lot of times, kids who are acting out and lashing out and being mean are doing that because they feel bad inside. So right. I found myself trying to be friends with people because I could feel their feelings. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where, like by middle school, I was just the weird child that sat in the corner and read. it got overwhelming. So I just kind of went inward, and I always turned to animals, pets. I'm always so linked to any kind of animal, wild or domesticated, mm-hmm. and nature. I was always sitting up in my oak tree, and that's how I handled it as a youngster.
Right.
And I think I really started to come out of my shell when I, 10th or 11th grade, I got a boyfriend, started playing the French horn. I always loved music. And that was when I really went into playing, you know, reading music, playing music, because I'm a bagpiper now. And I really think that the music kind of mitigates and controls and almost categorizes the abilities. Mm-hmm. And then at that time too, I started to try to turn off some of my senses.
Really? And
yeah.
How was that for you? Did you find that it got like, it was like trying to still break through?
Or yes.
Was it a boundaries?
I was setting up a little bit of both. I set up boundaries. I just wanted to feel normal. And, but then I would get breakthrough stuff. Like I remember my sister and I were walking through the mall. That's probably in my late teens, early 20s. And they had just got like a new storefront, and it was almost, it was like a used clothing store, like a secondhand store. Mm-hmm. My sister and I, and she has abilities. My siblings both do, but I don't think they really utilize them mm-hmm. in this arena. Right? My sister's a nurse, so she uses it in different ways. But
of course.
So we both got to the threshold of that store, and we're literally repelled. So we step back. And stuff like, I'd be driving down the road. I was with my ex-husband at the time, and I looked at him, and he didn't believe in this, hence the ex part. But I just didn't work. I said to him, we haven't seen a deer in a long time. And he looked at me, took his foot off the gas, and slowed enough that this deer just skimmed along the front of our headlights.
Oh, my goodness.
And he just kept looking at me. Like I didn't, because if I had said, I feel like there's a deer out there, he would have said, oh, you're ridiculous, and sped up. So it was just the wording. I kind of kept it. I remember feeling like, oh, I guess I should go to this craft fair because that's what people do who are normal. Oh, it was awful. So god awful boring. And then, I got married. I had my first child, and I decided it would be a good idea to go to Oakwood Cemetery and try to teach him how to ride his tricycle.
Oh my goodness. Just you saying that. Ooh.
Not a good idea. So I pack up Jack and I pack up the tricycle and off we go. And I can still picture where we were. There are a lot of soldiers buried there from mm-hmm. the Civil War. And he was a skinny kid, kind of klutzy like mom. So he's going along. He's got his little helmet on and boom, he falls, skins his knees and starts to cry. Yeah. Well, right at that moment, I just felt woof. I don't know if you have felt that energy when something, you're just surrounded by energy. Yeah. It's just like a massive attachment.
Yeah.
It's like, woof. And so I'm like, oh boy. So I loaded him up, threw the tricycle in the back car, zoomed home. And I just felt off the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And the cat was acting weird. And that's always a good sign. So I went to sleep that night. I woke up 3:00 in the morning. This is the first time this has happened since I was a little girl. There was a man standing next to my bed and I could see the streetlight through him. And he was dressed in Union blue. So he was a spirit.
Yeah.
And when that happened, it's like you took a plug out of the bathtub. Everything came through. I started to experience the house I lived in at the time was built in 1899.
Wow.
So people, a lot of people died there. Wars had happened. People had loss and influenza and you name it. Well, I was seeing everyone walking up and down the hallways. I was understanding why the boys were climbing into bed with me. It's because someone had died in that room of consumption.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what led to the clearing work, that I got into, because I knew that these people were trapped. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I could feel them. It's like, I guess that's a pet peeve of mine, or a lot of the ghost shows or ghost hunting. These are people. These are ghosts or people too. So, and I could feel what they're feeling, and they're trying to tell you about themselves. And that's why they look scary. So I started on my path of clearing. I started with the Ho'oponopono, old-fashioned seances. And then I learned how to douse. And I learned from someone who I'm not even in contact with anymore. But now I kind of morphed everything to kind of fit my own mold. And I use a clearing script and dowsing.
So that goes into your ghost rescuer. So
yes.
I love how you say they were humans too. And so tell us a little bit about that journey. Like you said, you kind of went into it. Like, mm-hmm. what is it about being a ghost rescuer that makes you feel passionate inside?
Well, I think what really does it for me is that I can feel their feelings, and ghosts become ghosts, not because they're being punished. They just, that opening happened in between our third dimension and their fifth dimension. And they did, for one reason or another, they did not go through.
Gotcha.
And it could be, it's low vibrational human emotions, fear, anxiety, mm-hmm. worry, terror, confusion. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of dementia patients that don't go through. So I'm always clearing nursing homes and funeral homes. Excuse me. So that's, being able to feel their emotions is what really kicked mm-hmm. me into wanting to do clearing work. And early on, I live in Colony now. And I moved in here. I got remarried to a wonderful man. And my two sons from previous marriage moved in to his home with me. And we got their room fixed up, but they kept saying, we feel like we're being looked at. We feel like we're being stared at. So I got new curtains, new shades. And I took my friend Katie, she came over. She's a psychic medium. She's like, you got a ghost upstairs. And the weird thing is, it's kind of like, you don't see stuff in your own house. Yeah. I kept dreaming of a little boy who died probably in the late 18, early 1900s in a farming accident. But I kept seeing him in a neighbor's house. When it happened, that's where my neighbor's son lived. And now he's like 60. And when my boys moved in next door, he was lonely. He was playing with a little wooden airplane, like, you know, the original Wright Brothers model hand carved. So he looked over and said, there's a family over there. So he popped over here. And his name was Thomas. And that's who was staring, because he was just trying to play. So we did an old fashioned seance with the four of us with a candle in the middle and the candles, you know, whipping around, and we saw him go to his family. He had died. He was white as white can be, because they were using a grain combine and it hit his jugular vein, and he bled out.
Wow.
Yeah, and we found where he's buried, actually, up the road in an old family cemetery. So we put a white carnation there for him. So that's what really got me passionate about it, is because these are people's family members. Mm-hmm. If it was my kid, was my parent, would I want people trying to capture their voice, especially when you're capturing the suffering? So that's, I've had mixed reception from ghost investigation groups, because they don't want you to get rid of their evidence. And my response is, what if it was your family member? Would you be okay with that? And, you know, you've got this ghost tourism that's so popular now.
Yes.
And I have mixed emotions about it.
Because it's almost glorifying, like you said, their pain.
Yes. I mean, it's different if the person, because with the clearing work, you clear them. It's basically, you help them to go to the light. So they're free to move about the universe. They get their passport stamped. They do life review, all that good stuff. And then they're free. It's about opening the cage door.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in keeping things in cages. So.
Oh, I just, that's just, you bring such a refreshing perspective to that, because to be honest, I'm ghosts and spirits. Yeah. I know I read the records and things like that, but I don't see like you see, I feel, and it's a little different. So it's like, I love the fact that you're putting such a humanized perspective to this work, and that, like you said, like you can see that they're wearing their death, and that if they're in those traumatized emotions, like they're in an accident or this happened and that happened, and you're just releasing them from that pain and suffering. And I love the fact that they have a passport, they can come visit, but they can go wherever they want.
And that's the beautiful thing, is I've had people say, well, please don't, I don't want to get rid of my mother. It's like, well, your mother's not a ghost. And I'll always check. Like if someone comes for a reading, I'll say, okay, let's make sure that, you know, no one's stuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, and your mother's in spirit. She's going right to the light, or she, you know, she's there. So she can always visit. It's funny. I had a story of a woman who came to me. Actually, I had to go to her for a clearing, because for clearings, I can go to the person's house and I do a clearing and a reading. Or I can do a remote clearing over the phone. And I went to this woman's house up at Clifton Park. She's like, things are flying off the wall. And and I know she was scared, but I got there and Tamisha's like, yeah, that's not so bad. But what had happened is she had moved there 3 months prior to everything going crazy. So I'm sitting there, I look, and there's a pissed off older woman sitting in the corner. And I'm like, well, there's an older woman here. And you know, she starts, her mouth starts going and she's trying to talk. She's a ghost. She's trying to talk, but she doesn't have a human voice. And I said, can you just, you know, think what you're feeling? And then I can hear the voice. She's like, she left me. I died and she left me. And I looked at the client. I was like, what's being thrown? She goes, anything that was my grandmother's. I'm like, oh, was your grandmother's name Eleanor? And that's who was mad, because her grandmother had passed.
Yeah.
And then after her grandmother had passed, she moved. But the problem with that was her grandmother had not crossed over. So her grandmother was a ghost in the house, because she had taken a lot of her stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, when she moved, you know, just a few hours drive. More than it was basically a 3 month long walk. She'd moved from down south. Wow. So that's how long it took her grandmother to walk, because ghosts are stuck trying to be human. If she were in spirit, spirits travel at the speed of a thought.
Yeah.
So why be stuck? And like the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, that's the most accurate from what my experiences are, except for the being dragged off to hell by demons. I've never seen that. Nope, never seen that. So I do encounter negative energies and entities, but they're more like fleas and ticks, and they feed off of fear. So if you're afraid of them, you're feeding them. So I always say, fear is the enemy. Don't be afraid.
I love that. I'm like, I have so many thoughts. Okay. So if basically she came, her grandmother had to walk in spirit to try to get back to her from the south to where she is now. Oh my goodness. I never would think that ever.
And she was so pissed. That's what she was.
How could you not be pissed? I'd be like, I'm pissed off for you. You effer.
And I cleared her, and then she was so lighthearted and loving, but you know, it's just a ghost is going to have their personality. A spirit will contain their personality, but be of the light, if that makes sense.
It does. And I have to ask you this, because you mentioned we're in the third dimension and then going into the fifth dimension. Do you feel like they're in the fourth dimension, or do you just feel like they're okay?
They're in the fourth, like the fourth dimension. In Christianity, you hear about purgatory and you get put there because you're not good enough. Mm. It's not that you're not good enough. You get stuck there. It's kind of like pea soup or quicksand. And that's where you get ghosts, earthbound spirits, where I think ghosts and earthbound spirits are the same thing in my mind, but some prefer the one word over the other. So I'm just like, okay, whatever you like.
Gotcha.
But then you get like, I hate to use the D word, but demons, negative energies, entities. Sometimes you get interdimensional critters.
Critters.
Yeah. Those are
what about
weird.
Galactic beings?
Yes. I have, I just say there's a lot that I don't like to disbelieve in things. The only thing I can say I don't believe in is zombies, because that's just, I just don't believe in zombies. But I like to keep an open mind about things. I wasn't sure how I felt about like UFOs and intergalactic beings, but they're not my specialty. But I do believe that there is contact. But I think that it's not like people, you know, little green people flying from another planet in a little saucer. I think there's interdimensional travel. I think there's wormholes. I think you can fold space. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would imagine you probably feel like we're all living multiple timelines at once. We can hop in and out of different dimensions depending on whatever is going on and wherever our soul body wants to go. It's kind of like you were saying with your soul team, your spirit guides. I love the fact that they're your dance partners, because it's almost like it's within your spiritual body, it sounds like, and you move together. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I kind of feel like sometimes my spirit guides like to take me off for training, or, you know, I'm going to call records or wherever we're going when I'm sleeping. Maybe sometimes I'm daydreaming.
That happens to me quite a bit. And it's interesting because Melissa has seen this, like she said, hey, can you just clear my house? And I swear she knew what I was wearing one time, because I mean, it's not like we were on a FaceTime call, and she's like, I saw you, like she can see me in the house. Yeah. It's interesting because Melissa sees differently. Everyone sees differently, but she'll oh, you go out and get your information, bring it back. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause I don't know. I just do
exactly. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, interesting. But like sometimes I will close my eyes and I'll be doing like past life clearing work for a person. And I'm shocked about where I am. It's like, whoa, it's almost like taking a hard landing.
Mm.
It's a jolt to come back. Yeah. I go pretty far away. And I dream. When I do remember my dreams, I'm all over the place. I'm in different dimensions. I'm visiting with loved ones in spirit, you know, because there are visiting hours for heaven. So
what hours are those, or is it per person?
It's per person, and it's usually right when you're falling asleep and right when you're waking up, or it can be when you get into that really sweet spot in your dreams where you're having a conversation with them. We do it a lot more than we realize, but so many of us wake up to an alarm, or you wake up and you get, you know, you go into gear. I always tell people, try to take a moment to say, geez, where was I last night? Who did I see? And what did we do? What did they say? And then pull that into your conscious mind. Because we dream. I have people say, I never dream. I'm like, you have to dream or else you can't be alive. I think there's
with
so
that
much
being said, oh goodness, I just lost my train of thought.
<It's okay.
laughs> I'm off in dreamland.
My menopause brain is rubbing off.
I had this like thought about dreaming and whatnot. Oh my goodness. Gosh, it will come back to me. You also teach classes on, I have to get back to that. That's like bothering me now. I'll get back to it. You teach classes on dowsing. Is that correct?
I do. Yep.
You have any upcoming classes coming up or?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually teaching a dowsing class next Sunday.
Oh, wow.
It's coming up fast. Out at Willow Tree Wisdom out in the town of Florida. Well, it's Amsterdam, New York.
Oh, cool.
And it's through Willow Tree Wisdom. So if you go on my friend Barb's either Facebook page or website, it's
you
there.
Can find the class.
Yeah. And Tom Kearns, our buddy, who is an astrologer and a psychic, they have a spiritualist church that meets out there once or twice a month. And so he's doing a spiritualist church service at 11 a.m. and I'm teaching at 1. And he does, it's like a Christian church service, but he does readings for everyone who's sitting there afterwards.
Yeah, that's an amazing service to go to.
Oh, you've been there. Good.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really like it. What other classes do you teach? Or is that the
Right now, I'm just doing dowsing.
Gotcha.
Melissa and I have talked about doing psychic development classes. And about 3 months ago, I decided to not go on sabbatical. I'm just not working a lot.
Yeah.
I just had to scale down. I'm not even sure why. I think that I'm probably just part of my consciousness is away at school at some level. That's what I figure. Like I said, I take care of my elderly mom. I'm her main caregiver, and you know, I got kids and whatnot. But normally, you know, it's all manageable.
Yeah.
But lately, I don't know. There's just something I'm a little like.
You know, you're bringing me back to my. I remember the question. Do you find that in the last couple of months there has been this acceleration of like awakening energy, more energy coming through the planet, and it's almost. Yes. It's intense. And I understand your feeling of, okay, I just need to reset here for a minute.
Yeah. It's like putting the car in neutral. That's what I've thought about.
Yeah. It's okay. I'll mute them.
So I was like, oh, a voice from beyond.
I love you, Jane, so much.
Yeah. So I mean, that answers, I think you're answering my question for me. Why am I having to go into neutral a bit lately? I think I am, you know, experiencing so much energetic shift and change. Yeah. And and then being in a body, you can't, I mean, if we didn't have to bother with bodies, can you imagine the stuff we could do? You wouldn't have to eat, drink, sleep, poop. But just think of all those little things that take up time. It's like, oh, really? Especially when you're really in the groove of something and you have to have a biological issue, like going to the bathroom, like, come on, time for this stuff. So, I mean, so there is a big shift right now. Our astrology buddy, Tom Kearns, who, you know, he was talking about how right now he did the birth chart for the United States of America. And right now it's the same, generally the astrological setup as it was in 1776.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
That's like reset back to basics.
Yeah. Yeah. So that to me explains so much because it feels very tumultuous, very excited, very, you know, I'm just like, I'm always, you know, like I'm not a Libra, but I feel like I'm standing there trying to balance everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's really fascinating, but I do feel like we're coming through that. Now you have children, so you know, when you're giving birth, you go through what they call transition. It's when they're, you know, going through the most painful spot.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are energetically.
Yes. You're 100% correct. We are moving from a discordant dimension to a more enlightened dimension. Yeah. And like, it's like, we're fighting the people that don't want, I'm sorry, I'm off tangent here. Oh, that are fighting the awakening, you know, they're fighting against this dimension. And it's like, and we as empaths are feeling this energetic, it's like a tug of war, you know, and it makes you feel off balance and it makes you feel sick and tired and annoyed. And you're like, this isn't me. Maybe it is, but.
No, and that's exactly how I've been feeling. I just want to. I can't get enough sleep.
Yes,
and
same.
I feel like a hermit, and I love people, but I think I'm an extroverted introvert.
Or maybe I'm the same way, 100%.
Like when I'm with people, I just love people, and I especially love kids. I mean, I love kids and old people probably the most, though. You know, because there's just so much, you know, all the garbage is out of the way, and it's like,
and they don't have the nuance, it's like they've already lived through it or they haven't gone through it. So they don't have the, you know, the responsibilities and the, you know, it's too much gunk that we put on us as adults.
Yeah. And I think kids definitely don't have a filter. And a lot of the older folks.
Oh, they have no filter. No.
They've dropped their thing. I don't give a damn anymore. I'm going to say what I want.
Exactly. They're like, oh, give up. Yep. I'm a registered nurse also, and my specialty was assisted living. Like I worked in hospice and I've been executive director at assisted livings. And, you know, so I'm the same way. I love the elderly. They're so freaking cute. And they're just aren't so, they? And I'm always like, oh, I love them so much. You're so cute. They're like, could you stop being disrespectful? I'm like, okay.
It's hard though, because they are adorable.
They are. Like,
oh my gosh. I just, like I said, when I did a talk at the Colony Seniors, and this is one of my favorite groups because I love questions. I love being asked questions because it always gets me to think. Because sometimes I just do what it's like. People say, why do you do that? I'm like, that's a good question. Cause it helps me to look inward more.
Mm-hmm. And, so speaking about like being asked questions and about the knowledge, what are some maybe books or something that like kind of helped you through your process that really helped you along the way?
You know, this is probably goofy, but one of the books that was most transformational for me was The Mists of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley.
Interesting.
And she wrote that book right here. I live in Colony. I'm from Albany, five generations. I can't seem to get out of that. But she wrote it right here at SUNY Albany in the stacks, doing all of her research. It's a historical fiction. She uses a lot of historical figures. But what I realized reading that book was that she was remembering a past life.
Yes.
And there was so much
channeling in that.
Yes. So in her writing, and then she almost like validated it through making it historical fiction. Then she wrote two prequels. She wrote Forest House. Well, she wrote Lady of Avalon and Forest House. Forest House is the beginning. And it's all about pre-Christian Great Britain and the island of Avalon, which is down in the summer country. It's, oh my gosh, the tour, Glastonbury.
Oh, yes.
So I got goosebumps just talking about this.
Yes.
And the Lady of Avalon, it's a series of like sections within the book, and it's lives being lived. And you just get really attached, and then she jumps into another one. And the Forest House is like the very beginning of the Forest House. And that's, you know, where a lot of the druids, the priests and priestesses were killed by the Romans. But it's that series of books reawakened my ability to understand that I was having past life experiences, because I've always regressed just spontaneously to past lives. My first and most profound one, I was probably like 9 or 10, and I was into photographing birds. I had a bird blind in the backyard. And I was scooping up bird seed in my hands out of this, you know, like a little plastic garbage can to keep the squirrels out, put it there. And I was putting it on this platform where I would photograph them. And the bird seed was running through my hands. And boom, it was almost like line hypnosis. I was back in time. It was grain or oats. And I was letting it run through my hands. And I smelled like a stinky body odor man. And I looked down, I had white shirt on, my sleeves are rolled up, I was tan, you know, suspenders, boots, and there was a big draft horse right next to me. And I love the smell of horses. And he goes, you know, shifting his weight. I could hear the squeaking of the leather and mm-hmm. like the metal bit. And then it scared me so much, I snapped out of it. So that was, and since then, I've had a lot of spontaneous regressions. Yeah.
That sounds super intense. You're probably like, oh, okay, I'm not here right now.
And I wished, you know, my parents were like supportive, but didn't quite know what to do with me.
Right.
And I tell my brother, he goes, you're weird. I'm like, yeah, I know that already. Thanks. That's been established here. So, so with the past life stuff, and that's like when I'm doing a reading, I will douse to see, like if someone comes to me with anxiety, mm-hmm. and they don't know why. It's different. Okay, I was in a horrible car crash. I have anxiety. Well, then we'll clear up, see if we have some soul fragmentation. Yeah. So basically, pieces of your soul can break off and go into different places yeah. when you're just overwhelmed. Did you ever have that situation where you were just so overwhelmed, you suddenly just go into this like shocky calm? Yeah. That's when you fragment. That's what's yeah. happening. A piece of you saying, not too much.
Yeah.
Almost like a circuit breaker in your basement. You just kind of flip a switch. So you can go and get a past life regression. I know some people that do that. I don't do regressions, but I do past life clearing. So I'll go through and clear out the gook.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot, experiencing that garbage once is enough. So if I can clear it for a person, and when I say I clear it, I just want to really clarify the fact that I'm a facilitator. It's my team that's actually doing the work. I'm just... you know,
channel.
Yeah, I'm the channel, I'm the facilitator. So by clearing that past life garbage, you can move forward. And that's the point of it all, is to be peaceful and happy and joyous and love your life and love people around you and move forward. It's not about having followers. It's not about feeling powerful. And I think that's kind of a little hole that some people with gifts tend to fall into.
Yeah, they get more... enamored by their egos and by adoration, and then they, you know, it's not fun.
No, and that takes a lot of to work to maintain that. I can barely run my own life. I don't want responsibility for anyone else's. So no, thank you.
I love that. Now I want to ask you this: are your do you find that you love kids? Are your kids are they gifted? And are you seeing more kids now that are kind of awakening with more spiritual gifts? Probably you before, yes. you know, okay.
Absolutely. How's that like? Well, with the kids, it's fun because my kids, especially because like my oldest, he's an engineer. He's currently living out in the Midwest, and he's my scaredy cat. Like he'll get terrified. They were hiking up in the Adirondacks. And I stayed in this cabin. He goes, there's a ghost here. There's a ghost here. You know, calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Can you clear the ghost? I'm like, sure, Jack. But he's very fear-based response. Oh, I don't think he's going to listen to this. He'd be mad at me, but he is. That's Jack. Jack,
we love you. Always,
yeah, we love you, Jack. He always saw spirits from like the waist down. So he'd see legs walking around.
But he also seen that.
It's so bizarre. And he would also see, it's almost like the memories of the household. Like sometimes he'd see what looked like my legs going by, like boots I don't have anymore. So it's almost like he was seeing like past snippets too.
Yeah.
So, but you know, he's really into, you know, being an engineer. And he does still have those spidey senses, but he's afraid of them. But he has really shamanistic dreams. So he'll contact me about that, especially when there's big change or change that needs to happen in his life. My middle son, Adam, he is a science man right now. He's getting his PhD in medicinal chemistry. That skipped a generation. That's not me. That came from my dad and my grandfather.
I love that.
He, I think, is the best psychic medium I've ever met. By best, I mean the clearest. But right now, he's just, I don't believe in that stuff. But he would get names and descriptions and feelings and full paragraphs. And he actually used to read tea leaves when he was a little guy.
Oh my goodness.
We used to do a psychic fair. Barb Nesnack did it. We were down in Albany. Oh gosh. It's like a family and child service place. And we would do it there. And he was reading tea leaves for people. So he's very talented. I know. And I'm sure he doesn't listen to this, so he doesn't listen to anything but scary stuff. It'll come back around and I can feel that. I know that's going to happen.
Nice.
Now, my youngest is 14. Oh, he'll be 15 next month. And he is such a strong empath because I drag my family to battlefields and he will get all emotional. I can feel them when they want their mothers. Oh my God. Oh my God. He lost his arms. So he gets really emotional. So I'm like, oh, maybe we shouldn't bring. But I'm just like, oh, it's getting dark. There's a thunderstorm. Let's see what we can experience. And he's like crying. I'm like, okay, we got to go. So maybe not the best parenting moment, but oh my gosh. So he's got a lot of abilities, but he's got a girlfriend now. So I think he still utilizes that. And it's funny because he's an empath. So he will sit down and he'll talk to people about their emotions and feelings. He's always trying to help people.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So he's funny. And we did a clearing. He was with Melissa and I and my husband when we did some clearing work up at her place. And he had a couple of interesting experiences. and then a lot of the clients that I see these days, I'll be doing a reading for mom and sometimes dad. And next thing you know, there's a little person coming up and it's like, what do you see? What's my future? They're just so stinking cute. I love it. And I'll be places and I'm out at the Gilboa Dam area once or twice a year.
Yeah.
For the New York Power Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess has me come out there and these little kids, like they'll just pay you. And then you sit there and people can come up and little kids will come up and give me their palm. What does my palm say? I love kids. I can't get enough of them. I can't wait to have grandchildren. No pressure, kids. But I just get such a kick out of them because they're so fresh from heaven.
Yeah.
And I love to listen to them because a lot of times they're a lot more intelligent or tuned in, I should say, than we are.
Mm-hmm.
They've got these amazing messages for us. And we have so many indigo and crystal children here. So I usually recommend the Idiot's Guide to crystal children. I think it's indigo children. I don't know if they've done a crystal one. And that really helps a parent to look and say, oh my God, my kid's normal.
Yeah.
And there's various support groups. I had my youngest in an Indigo Kids group out at Willow Tree Wisdom. And I think they've started up another one just so the kids can feel like regular kids.
Yeah. And they have a group. They have people they can talk to and share experiences with.
They got a posse. Everyone.
Yeah.
Has a posse.
And not be, when we still have quite the bully culture, which is unfortunate, but
we do, and you'd always hope that we humans could grow beyond that. But I think it comes out of fear and insecurity. So until people stop feeling fear and insecurity, there's going to be bullies.
Yeah.
So
I do have a question for you. What is one of the most meaningful clearings that you have done?
Meaningful clearings. Oh, I was going to tell you my scariest one, but I'll tell you.
You can tell us both.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm coughing. The pollen is killing me today.
Oh, I know. The pollen's bad right now. Oh, my gosh.
Gosh. So probably it was meaningful, but it was scary. And they were poltergeist kids. I was doing a clearing for a children's hair salon in Gelderland. And what was happening is when, like, once or twice a week, they had security cameras. The security cameras at night would go, push, they'd get all staticky. And then they'd come back on a few minutes later and there'd be like nail polish spilled, like lipstick on the mirror. And it's like, and the owner was terrified. It was in a strip mall too. It's like, what's going on? So I went in and I'm usually not afraid. I mean, I cannot watch a scary movie, by the way.
Like, that's so interesting.
Like the movie Annabelle, I saw the trailer for it.
You're like, nope.
Around in my seat. That stuff's scary. Okay, I'm afraid of dolls.
Same. Oh, don't even talk to me about dolls. And freaking Melissa always sends me these freaking memes of these porcelain dolls because they come to life and I hate them.
My God, the porcelain dolls with the eyes that open.
They're the worst.
And the human hair from people who are now dead. I can't handle that.
They follow you. I don't care what anybody says. They're alive.
They become vessels, very easily become vessels for energies and entities.
Oh, I can't stand those things. I'm sorry.
This is a side note. I was with the Northeast Paranormal Society doing an investigation once. And we went in and the house is already dark. And I don't go on many ghost investigations because I'm like, oh, there's a ghost. Okay. we have to sit here for more, 5 more hours. I'm tired. My bedtime is 9. So, you know, so we went in and I was sitting in the room with one of the other investigators, and she, you know, we're sitting there. She's talking about her kids. I'm talking about mine. Well, finally we get all of our evidence. We turn the lights on and I had been sitting next to like a 3 foot tall doll. And I let out this a scream like I was being murdered. Everyone came running and like, well, I'm like, I didn't know there was a doll here, because it was pitch black. That scared me so bad.
So much more.
So much more. It's like, you know, have some demon with red eyes. That's fine.
Like, I'm good.
No dolls, please. But oh, back to the clearing. I was in Gilderland. So I went out. I think it was daylight. I try to clear in daylight. Just, it's a little bit more effective, because mm-hmm. if the people that I'm clearing for are scared, it kind of energizes anything negative that's going to be there. So mm-hmm. I try, preferably even before noon when the sun is rising, rather than going down the other side, like towards setting. But it was after hours. So I'm, you know, in there and I just do the, you know, when I do a clearing, I've got to see how big of a space I need to clear. And I usually say the home and property, the boundary, that, you know, the current property boundary lines, is that enough?
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, very often we'll get a no. If it's an apartment building, I usually clear the entire footprint of the building.
Wow.
Okay. And this is like, do I need to clear the whole strip mall? I just needed to clear the one arm of it, strangely mm-hmm. enough, so that I envision almost like a power shield that goes, you know, all the way up and all the way down, all the way around. And then I ask that the energies be frozen. It's kind of like freeze frame, because yeah. I've started doing that, because they very often, if I set up a boundary, they'll jump like a flea outside, and then I'll clear and they'll jump back in. So you got to freeze them. And I don't hurt anything. Ghosts go to the light, and then anything negative goes into the violet flame where it can become positive energy. So I don't believe in hurting anything. I'm the weirdo who's out trying to save worms on the driveway after heavy rain. I feel so bad for them. So, okay, I'll focus. The clearing, I'm sitting there in one of the kids' chairs, and it's kind of the center, and I'm spinning around, and all of a sudden, the room is filled with this big chill. So the woman's like, can you feel that? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Don't be afraid. She's afraid. So what is she doing? She's feeding the energy. What they were two children that had passed away. It was like a dysentery thing, whatever. There's that cholera. Cholera is that like when the water source gets tainted? Yeah. So they had died of that. And they were like, I'd say maybe 7 and 9. And they, a little dog, there was a little black dog that died with them too. I don't really see ghost animals unless the animals die with a person, and then they're trying to protect the person. They'll become a ghost too. Animals are smarter than a spiritual. They'll go right to the light. They come right back. They're good. So it was a boy and a girl, brother, sister, and a small black dog. And I'm sitting there and I'm communicating with them. And what had happened is their father was a preacher. And this is like early settlement times, like the 1700s. Late 1700s, and the mother was pregnant. And what had happened is they had both died of, you know, basically dehydration from growing up and, you know, all that nasty stuff. They were buried somewhere close by.
Yeah.
And the mother and father, I think the dog got like hit by a wagon or something that was buried near them. So the mother was terrified that it was bad luck or negative energies that was taking your children. So they moved west. They moved out towards the Rochester area. And it's interesting because I'm hearing the whole story. So those kids felt deserted.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I'm able to figure out is their graves are still undisturbed, but it's not far from the corner of Western and 155.
Yeah.
And so they, out of their frustration and loneliness, they started scaring people.
Oh my
and
goodness.
It was fun. And then they're and scaring people, that energy of fear, kind of, it's kind of like a poltergeist activity.
Yeah.
Especially around little kids. And so they decide to try their tricks on me. Is that's what happened. Is I'm sitting in this little like hairdresser's chair, and the little girl's to my left, little boy's to my right. The dog's just like happily bouncing around. They get their scary on as I start to clear them with my pendulum. they started to do like a zombie walk towards me. Boy, I cleared them so fast. I sounded like an auctioneer. And boom, as soon as I finished my script that I say, it's like the clouds parted and there was the mother, the father, and they were holding a baby. But the baby, I mean, they had lived.
Yeah.
For them, that would have been the baby because I knew their mother was pregnant. And it's like on a sunbeam and the kids turn and the dog turned and they just, you know, hyperspeed up there. And then it went, it's almost like the room deflated.
Wow.
And the woman's, and then the coolest thing when you do a clearing like that is it gets so echoey.
Really? Oh, how interesting. Yeah.
Cause there's no, it's that extra stuffy energy. It's like the pea soup in the room is gone. And then you can, it seems brighter and bigger and echoey. And so I think my most rewarding, oh gosh, there's so many. I think I was on Albany Shaker Road. I got a wonderful client there and she had had her sister come for a reading and I did a reading for her after. Well, her sister had her reading and then she left. And then I was reading for my friend Gloria and all of a sudden I see, I think it's her sister, is standing in the doorway. It's a French door. And she waved and I waved back. And Gloria goes, who are you waving at? I'm like, that lady there. I thought it was your sister, but, and Gloria looks and we can't see her now because we're really trying hard to see her.
Yeah.
And I said, she goes, can you just, my sister's not here. She got up, looked around. There's no one in the house. So she puts her mind to it and she goes, can you describe her? And I said, well, she was an older woman. I could see, you know, like the age spots and like mm-hmm. the veins through the skin. And she had on like a muumuu and she had glasses on her, perched on her nose and they were clear and they had like a rhinestone.
Oh, that sounds so cute.
Little, you know, little necklacey thing that yeah. so you don't lose your glasses. And she was holding a teacup in her hand, holding it up and like twirling it back and forth. And she goes, oh my gosh, I think I know who that is. And she goes, that's my neighbor. My neighbor used to come over and have tea all the time.
Aww.
And she used to read tea leaves. I'm like, shut the front door, Gloria. So what had happened is her neighbor. And so she told me your name. I checked with the woman. That was her. So she came and she sat down with us. Now, Gloria kept looking over like all freaked out. Like, no, she's there. And what had happened is she had not crossed over fully. She was partial. Like you can get a full haunting, but some of her went to the light, but some of her didn't. She had dementia.
Gotcha.
And she died in an Albany County nursing home. And so she tried to walk back to her house.
Aww.
So, well, there were strange people there because her house had been sold.
Yeah.
So, but she recognized Gloria. So she was hanging out there. So I helped her to cross over. And then boy, she, and I love it because what was so satisfying is that she was so happy to be seen, to be recognized, and for the help to cross over, and then for Gloria to acknowledge her. And then right before my eyes, and Gloria could feel some stuff. She de-aged and she was just this hottie from the 1940s.
I love it.
With this amazing attitude. And then she just, you know, waved and boom, she was gone.
Wow.
So that was so satisfying because she was so lonely and just searching Aww. For someone who would see her.
Oh my goodness.
So that was really satisfying. So
love that. Well, we're almost to our hour.
Oh my gosh.
I know it went by so fast. You are fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything else? If anyone wants to ask a question or is there anything else that you want like to share with us before we wrap up, Michelle?
Well, I could talk forever. So does anyone have a question for me?
Let's see. I'm always like, do.
I can't see anyone.
Here, let me switch the view. 1 second. If I know how to do it.
If not, I can certainly think of something to say. And they're all like saying, stop talking, lady.
Not at all. No, this was fascinating. Like Melissa said you're fabulous. Thank you for sharing your stories. Oh, like, honestly, God. Like I'm going to go Melissa. Back to this again. I love your viewpoint and your perspective on like it for me. Like I said, I was somebody who I am a little fearful of ghosts, but now I'm like, you're right. They're just human. And That's just such a different, beautiful perspective of that.
Ghosts are people too. I mean, it's funny.
You need a shirt that says that.
Let's get a shirt. Woohoo! I'm a bagpiper, so I spend a lot of time in cemeteries. And the only time I've been afraid in a cemetery is when there were living people there doing weird stuff. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed and thrown into a grave and they're going to put a coffin on me and no one's going to ever find me. But, you know, that's the only time I've been scared, because I see spirit in cemeteries all the time. Mm-hmm. Like one time, the living are always getting signs from their dearly departed. And it often happens at the actual funeral when they're at the cemetery. There'll be an animal or something happening. But this is a really cool one. I was tuning up my pipes. I'm all set. And I see this older gentleman walking up to the gravestones with a West Highland Terrier. I'm a dog nerd. So it's a little white terrier. It's like a Scottish Terrier, but white. So they're walking towards me. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, he's probably going to ask me about piping or say, do you know this piper? And he's still walking. He's looking at stones and whatnot. And we're in the back part of the North Ridge of the Albany Rural Cemetery, if anyone knows that cemetery. And then I get distracted. And there's this big, beautiful doe that steps out of the woods. And she gets my attention. And he's just enamored by her. I turn around and he's gone. I'm thinking, where did this guy go? And he's got a cane and walking a little dog. So I start looking around everywhere. I just can't find him. And there's just no way. So I know he was a spirit. Well, the funeral happens. And then they get a lot of people out. And then I see them going back to the car. What do? They bring out a West Highland Terrier.
Was it the same dog?
It was the same dog. But the man, it was the guy that I saw walking was the man who was being buried. Because I asked, do you have a picture of him?
Yeah.
Do you mind? And, you know, I don't want to sound like a crazy person, but afterwards I'll talk. They pulled it out. It was the same man. I think he was just letting me know he was there. And when I played Amazing Grace, that dog howled and sang right along with me. It was the sweetest thing. I got, you know, and he was just like, I figured, oh, he's going to come chat with me. And, you know, very often I'll be riding in the car with my husband. It doesn't work with my son because he sees spirit too. Mm-hmm. I'll say, honey, do you see that man standing alongside the road? He goes, nope, sorry, hon, I don't. And I can usually tell when they're ghosts, because ghosts appear, like sometimes they're see-through, sometimes I just feel them, sometimes they're solid and I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. But ghosts, if I see a full apparition, I can usually tell that they're a ghost because they look photoshopped in.
Oh, fascinating.
They don't quite fit.
They're kind of not 100% there. Yeah. Interesting.
Like, it's photoshopped. As soon as photoshopping him, I'm like, oh, that's what, because it's almost like the wind can be blowing and nothing's blowing on them, or they're wearing out of date clothing, or it's a cloudy day and they have a lot of sunlight on them.
Right.
It's really funky the way that is.
I guess that's the
biggest thing is, I guess my biggest thing to say is just, you know, fear is the enemy. Mm. Fear is the absolute enemy. Fear of the unknown, fear of anyone who's different. And fear of ghosts, because they're just trying to find their way home.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. And don't fear negative energies. They're just the fleas and the ticks and the spice of life. They feed off of fear. So just, you know, just say, get the heck out, you know, and just, you know, have compassion for those ghosts, because they're just.
Oh, thank you.
People without bodies.
I love the fleas and the ticks too. Like, that's just such a good way to even look at that kind of energy, because people may envision it as like big and massive and mammoth, but it's like a flea and a tick. That's nothing.
Yeah. It's just enough to, like, you know, because heaven is home, earth is sleepaway school. Yeah. We're not given challenges that we can't learn and grow from. Absolutely. Things aren't supposed to stop us in our tracks. So don't believe Hollywood. Don't believe those ghost hunting shows. It's all about, you know, love. I don't want to sound corny, but it is about love.
No, it's love or above, 100%. Always should be trying to have your vibration love or above. Love, joy, all of that.
100%. Absolutely.
Roseanne said, thank you so much. This is wonderful. So I do want to wrap it up, because I don't want to take up too much of your time. And I thank you so, so much for joining us this evening for another Spiritual Spotlight series. I would love to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to come back on. I've always got something to share, and I love talking with people. I appreciate you guys asking me on.
Yeah. So I hope everybody has a great night. And once again, Michelle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll be connecting with you again soon.
Sounds great. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Everybody have a great night. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you found the episode to be enlightening and insightful. Our goal is to create content that not only entertains, but also helps you grow spiritually and connect with your inner self. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we would greatly appreciate if you could take a moment to like, subscribe, and write a review. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to us and helps us to improve the quality of our content and to reach a wider audience. We believe that by sharing knowledge and insights about spirituality, we can help inspire positive change and personal growth. So if you found our podcast to be meaningful and informative, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. Thank you once again for your support and for joining us on this journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth. We look forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future.